This is KERA News. I'm Rick Holter with this week's Friday Conversation. The U.S. Treasury decided last week to replace President Andrew Jackson with anti-slavery icon Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. That had special significance for one of the most familiar voices on NPR. Morning Edition host Steve Inskeep just published an entire book about Jackson, and I caught up with him during Thanks Week in Washington. Steve Inskeep, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Delighted to be here.
Your last book was called Jacksonland, and when the decision came down last week, you were actually in Jackson's old stomping grounds, Tennessee. What was the reaction there?
People, at least in the area where I was, applauded, which surprised me a little bit, because there are a lot of people who revere Andrew Jackson in Tennessee, were raised to revere Andrew Jackson. I think there's still a lot of support for him, but it's a little quiet right now.
Were you surprised by the decision?
Not terribly, because Jackson has been so hammered over the years and no one has really risen that powerfully for his defense. Some people have defended Jackson's record. Historians, I think, have a little more rounded picture of the guy as someone who really was significant in the history of the country and in the development of the country, but there are these, it's more than asterisks, there are terrible acts that are part of this man's past, because like other presidents, he was a slave owner. And like other presidents, he worked to remove Indians from the eastern United States. And on that subject, he was the central mover. He was the most effective single player.
Well, you know, it's interesting. In a lot of history books in Texas, Harriet Tubman was not even mentioned until 5 to 10 years ago.
Wow. I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
The Indian removal, the other thing that Andrew Jackson was involved with, a lot of people have said to me they didn't learn anything about that in school. I learned a little bit. To be honest, Rick, I remember in about seventh grade, give or take.
And this was Indiana,
this
right?
is in Indiana. Right. There was a textbook, and it was like one of those little sidebars, they call them, in the, you know, the little box off to the side. And it was like a, you know, a page or two. And in my memory, they said Indian removal was said to have something to do with Andrew Jackson, but it's hard to say exactly what it was or something like that. But they had this detail of Indians who lived in houses like white people, who were turned out of those houses by soldiers at bayonet point, which is the kind of detail that stuck with me all these years. And I think that's because it's an open wound. It feels, you feel that. It's visceral. And you don't understand it. It's baffling. And it is something in our history that was never really atoned for, never really resolved, as some other things have been.
I wonder if the way the presidential campaign is played out, if you're seeing any parallels with Jackson. I mean, in some ways, Jackson is Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders with a little Hillary Clinton on
top. Yeah, you totally could say that. Now, I think you have to say it carefully because they're not similar in a lot of ways. So it's not that they have the same issues, the same ideas. Mm-hmm. It's that Donald Trump has this tone. I am going to fight for you, my supporter. I'm going to fight for the people I perceive as my people. I'm going to do whatever I have to do, and I don't care what tactics I use, and I don't care who gets hurt. And that was Andrew Jackson's tone with his supporters, the people he believed to be on his side. Now, there are also huge differences, the biggest one being that Andrew Jackson, although he's portrayed as an outsider, was really a particular kind of insider and spent decades in government before he ran for president. He didn't just show up one day and say, I'm qualified for this job.
But he also did a lot of railing against moneyed interests in politics.
Yeah, he totally did. He actually crusaded against, fought against, and destroyed the Bank of the United States, which was the central bank of its time. He said that moneyed Eastern elites had gotten too cozy with this institution and were profiting by it, and that that was endangering democracy.
And that sounds like another presidential candidate.
Who are you thinking of? Bernie Sanders? Yeah. You could go to Bernie Sanders on this. With that said, there's huge differences there as well. The most significant being that Andrew Jackson did not believe in a strong governmental intervention in the economy in any way. He wanted to get rid of the Bank of the United States because it intervened too much.
Right.
He had a very different attitude toward government in general than someone like Sanders would today.
And yet he held the union together.
Well, he did. He's a very strong president. He was dubious of federal power until he became the federal power. And it's an accomplishment of his that when South Carolina began spinning out of the orbit of the Union in many ways, he dragged them back. And in fact, he said, I will raise an army of hundreds of thousands of men and crush you if you do not come back. And in the end, they worked out a compromise. South Carolina stayed. This is the early 1830s. The Civil War was put off for another 30 years.
Steve Inskeep, thanks for taking the time while we're here in Washington.
Glad you're visiting, Rick.